Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures tonight to the 25th chapter of the book of Numbers, Numbers 25. We'll read the entire chapter, and it is this 25th chapter of the book of Numbers that is my text tonight. God's Word at Numbers 25, verse 1, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent, and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake." There ends our reading of God's Word tonight. The incident that is recorded in this passage of sacred Scripture took place at the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The event took place just before the children of Israel passed over Jordan and went into the land of Canaan. In a wonderful way, God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. By 10 terrible plagues, He had judged Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He had utterly destroyed them, and by His outstretched arm had brought the children of Israel out of their bondage and misery. For 40 years, God had kept Israel in the wilderness, providing them manna from heaven and water from the rock. But God's purpose in the salvation of His people is not only a negative purpose. His purpose is not only their deliverance, but His purpose is a positive purpose. His purpose is to bring them into Canaan. His purpose is to bring them into Canaan so that there they may live in friendship and fellowship with God. At this time, Israel was encamped in Shittim, just on the far side of the Jordan River. Moab is to the east, and Canaan is to the west. At this critical time in Israel's history, the children of Israel fall into sin, serious sin. They commit fornication, and they go after the gods of Moab. This is what the Scriptures here and elsewhere refer to as the matter of Baal Peor. That's the first part of the last verse of the chapter. For they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor. This sad event in the history of the children of Israel is of significance for the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. In this history, there is instruction for us, and there is a warning to us. The Apostle Paul makes this abundantly clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verses 7 and 8, he writes, "Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. The apostle is referring there to the event recorded in our text for tonight. He speaks of 23,000 who fell by the plague of God, whereas our chapter speaks of 24,000, verse 9, because there were 23,000 Israelites plus 1,000 heads of the tribes, 1,000 princes slain by God on account of the matter of Baal Peor. And then the apostle goes on to say, applying this historical event in verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." This event is applicable to us. And it is applicable to us inasmuch as Old Testament Israel was only a type of the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. The great evil against which the incident of our text warns us is the evil of worldliness. This is the matter of Baal Peor. I call that to your attention tonight, the matter of Baal Peor. Let's notice, first of all, Israel's sin. Secondly, Phinehas's zeal. And finally, the Lord's response. At this time, the children of Israel joined themselves to Baal Peor. That's the description of Israel's sin in the third verse of the chapter. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. Peor was a mountain in Moab. In fact, it was the very mountain on which Balaam had taken the false prophet Balak in order to curse the children of Israel. What Balak did is recorded in Numbers 23, verses 27 and 28. And Balak said unto Balaam, "Come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them," that is, the children of Israel, "from thence." And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor, that looketh toward Jeshimon. Baal was the idol god. The idol god worshipped by the Moabites and the Canaanites, since the altar for Baal had been erected on Mount Peor, the Baal worship there is referred to as Baal Peor. Baal at or on Peor. Baal was the warrior god. Baal was the Canaanite god of earthly power, the god of material prosperity, the god of riches, of wealth, the god of material abundance. Israel is said here to join himself to Baal Peor, because the children of Israel now join the Moabites in the worship of Baal on Mount Peor. Israel's sin at this time consisted of several things. First of all, the children of Israel sinned against God by committing fornication. Fornication with the Moabites. Verse 1. Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Besides that fornication, the sexual impurity that was the spark for this evil, the children of Israel were guilty in the second place of participating in a sacrificial meal devoted to and honoring the god Baal. That's the first part of verse 2. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. This was a time of festivity, a time of merrymaking, a time of eating and drinking and dancing. Undoubtedly, there was music and entertainment, recreation for all. 1 Corinthians 10 describes the sin of the children of Israel as playing. They were playing with the Moabites. And then besides participating in that festive meal, they joined in the worship of Baal and bowed down to their gods. The instigator of this sin on the part of the children of Israel was none other than the false prophet Balaam. Balaam isn't referred to in our chapter tonight. In the immediately preceding chapters, he is, but no mention of him in Numbers chapter 25. However, subsequent history makes plain that Balaam has a significant hand in Israel's sin and temptation at this time. This comes out later in Numbers 31, verse 16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. The essence of Balaam's advice to King Balak had been this. Entice them. You want to destroy Israel? You want to remove them so that they are no longer a threat to you? Not an enemy to be feared? Turn them away from the worship of their God. Entice them with the pleasures of this world. There are times when the world's opposition against the church takes the form of persecution. When the world is very open about its hatred of God, and of the people of God. When the world heaps upon you and upon me its contempt because of our confession of the name and truth of God, its contempt and hatred against us because we insist upon it that God alone is to be worshipped and is to be worshipped as He has revealed Himself in the pages of Holy Scripture. There is no other God. There is no other Savior than Jesus Christ. The world shows its hatred of us by threatening us, even by unleashing its hatred against us in the form of open persecution. How many of God's people at this very moment in other parts of the world are not experiencing this kind of opposition from the devil and the wicked world? But persecution is not the only tool of the devil. It's not even his weapon of choice in his warfare against you and against me. He prefers temptation. He prefers enticing us with the lusts and the pleasures of the world. Not, I will hurt you, but I am your friend. We are friends. We can be friends. Feigned friendship. That's what the Moabites did here. That was Balaam's advice on which they acted. That is today a great strategy of the world. This comes out too in verse 18, that last verse in the description there of the sin of the Moabites and the Midianites. Vex the Midianites. Smite them, God says to Moses and Israel, for they vex you with their wiles wherewith they have beguiled you. Wiles. They have beguiled you. That refers to a certain deceit. A trick, a lie. And this was how Israel was beguiled. This was the wile of the Midianites and the Moabites. We our friends. We can be one. We need not be separate. We need not stand over against each other. We can join one another. Israel's sin at this time was a serious sin. Was a serious sin, first of all, because of the sins themselves that they committed. Fornication. The apostle says in 1 Corinthians 6, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. We are not our own to live as we please, satisfying our lusts, but we belong, body and soul, to God and to Jesus Christ. We must live purely and chastely. Besides fornication, idolatry. The fornication stood in the service of the idolatry. The bowing down to Baal and to the other idol gods of the Midianites and the Moabites. A flagrant violation of the first and fundamental commandment of the law of God. Worship me. I am God. Worship me and me alone. Besides the sins themselves, the fornication and the idolatry, the seriousness of Israel's sin at this time is that it is the height of ingratitude. That makes Israel's sin the serious sin that it was. God had delivered them out of the misery and death of Egypt. God had cared for them and provided for them 40 long years in the wilderness. They never lacked water. They had plenty of food. Their clothes did not wear out, nor their sandals on their feet. And now He was about to bring them into the land of promise, a land overflowing with milk and with honey. Immediately after the events of our text, Moses is commanded to number the children of Israel with a view to their entering into the promised land. The book, in fact, gets its name from that significant event that marks the end of the 40 years of wandering and the beginning of their new life in Canaan. Numbers. And it is at this point that Israel forsakes God, abandons the worship of God, and bows down before Baal Peor, the height of ingratitude and unthankfulness to God for all that He was and for all that He had done to the children of Israel. It is the sin of a faithless husband who abandons a devoted and loving wife, or the sin of a wife who forsakes the love and the protection of a husband. What added to the seriousness of Israel's sin at this time was that the sin was so widespread. The sin infected the whole nation, and as a people, Israel was guilty of the sins that are mentioned in Numbers 25. That comes out in the fact that not just a goodly number of the people, but over 1,000 of the princes not only were infected with the sin, but led the way approved of the sin, and themselves walked in these sins. But what made Israel's sin the most serious of all was that Israel's sin was a forsaking of the antithesis. That made the sin most serious. That was the life to which God had called Israel. That was the life that He had brought her to, out of Egypt, unto Himself, in devotion to Him, in separation from the ungodly and from the world. And now, Israel's sin is the sin of abandoning the life of the antithesis, refusing to live in separation from the world, its ungodliness, its immorality, its idolatry, her refusal to be devoted to God. That this was Israel's sin comes out in the description of the sin in the chapter. That's plain from the description of Israel's sin in verse 3 as a joining of herself unto Baal Peor. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. That word joining is a word in the original that means yoked. Israel yoked himself with Baal Peor. We're reminded of the language of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The warning there, not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That was Israel's sin. She yoked herself with the ungodly. She joined with the world. She made common cause with those who denied God. Israel's sin was the sin of abandoning the life of the antithesis. Also comes out from the fact that as a reward for his faithfulness, God establishes his covenant with Phinehas. That's verses 12 and 13. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. God establishes his covenant with Phinehas. That's the reward that specifically mentioned is because over against the faithfulness of Phinehas was the sin of the children of Israel. Contempt for God's covenant. A refusal to live in friendship with God, in devotion to God, and instead, friendship with the world and fellowship with the ungodly. What makes the abandoning of the antithesis so serious a sin is that it spells the spiritual destruction of the church. Satan knew that. The false prophet, Balaam, knew that. The devil knows that better than the people of God often, it seems. He knew that this would be the end of Israel, He knew that the best way to eliminate Israel was to inundate her with worldliness. Cause her to forsake God by joining with the world. And that would have been the end of Israel spiritually. The sin of Israel is the sin widespread in the Church of Jesus Christ in our day. Worldliness. The worldliness of embracing the immorality that is approved of by the world, widespread in the churches today, is disregard for the seventh commandment of God's law that takes not only the form of approval of the grossest forms of immorality, homosexuality, the living of unmarried persons with each other as if this is right and this is normal. But I refer especially to the world's and the church's contempt for God's institution of marriage. That's the basest immorality of the world in which we live. The refusal to live in marriage as God wills that His people live in marriage. That worldliness shows itself in the embrace in the church today of the viewpoint of the world. That fun and riches, the enjoyment of pleasure, these are the most important things in one's life. These are the things to which we must devote ourselves with our time and all our energy. Getting ahead. A career, honor, recognition in the world. That worldliness shows itself in the entertainment that is approved in the churches today. Entertainment that glorifies immorality. The entertainment of the movie. Not just going to the theater, bringing the theater into our own homes. We do that. We allow our children and ourselves to hear God's name blasphemed. The worship of God defiled. Immorality. Violence. We bring it into our own homes. The worldliness that shows itself very often in the friendships of the young people, that rather than to live in separation from the ungodly, we join them and make friends with them, we join them in partying, in the pursuit of pleasure. That's the matter of Baal Peor. Although the great majority of the children of Israel at this time were overcome with worldliness and joined themselves to Baal Peor, especially one man remained faithful and showed himself to be zealous for the cause of God. That man was Phinehas. The occasion for the action of Phinehas was the flagrant sin of Zimri and Cosby, verse 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The flagrance of this sin is seen in the fact that the judgment of God had already begun to fall in the camp of Israel. Moses and Aaron are weeping before God in the tabernacle. And in the sight of them all, Zimri and Cosby parade themselves. The flagrance of the sin is seen in the fact that openly, publicly, they commit their sin. There's development here. This is what it comes to. This is the flagrance of the sin. One's worldliness has gotten its hold in the church. Phinehas' reaction is recorded in verses 7 and 8. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. In a bold act, Phinehas killed Zimri and Cosby. Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, the priest of God. What motivated Phinehas was zeal for God, the honor and the glory of God. That's verse 11. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them. This is the thing that was lacking in Israel. This is the thing that is sorely lacking in the church today. Zeal for God. Zeal for the honor of God. An eye on the glory of God. This is the need of the hour. This is the need of the hour in the individual members of the church, that we live our lives out of zeal, not for self, for God. This is the need of the hour on the part of Christian parents, that they instill in their children the honor of God and zeal for the glory of God. This is the need of the hour in the Church of Jesus Christ. On the part of office bearers, ministers doing their work in congregations with an eye on the glory of God, elders laboring in the church, especially in the exercise of Christian discipline, out of zeal for God, the assemblies of the church, motivated in their decisions, not by what will please the majority, not what will keep the members, but zeal for God. The Lord's response to the matter of Baal Peor was first of all a response of judgment, awful judgment. This was, first of all, the judgment of God on the Midianites and the Moabites who enticed the children of Israel to commit sin in the matter of Baal Peor. That judgment is recorded in Numbers chapter 31. There was war, perpetual war between the Moabites, the Midianites, and the children of Israel. And all the princes who allied themselves with Midian and Moab were slain along with their king, Balak. Also Balaam, the false prophet, the instigator of this worldliness, was smitten. Numbers 31, verse 8. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Besides God's judgment on the Moabites and Midianites, God judged His own people, Israel. What an awful judgment. The heads of the people who participated in the apostasy, who proved the apostasy, who encouraged the apostasy, were slain, 1,000 of them. And God sent an awful plague among the people that in one day killed 23,000 Israelites. They perished. They perished in the wilderness. They perished under the wrath of God without ever coming into the promised land. That is God's judgment on all who forsake Him. That's God's judgment on those who abandon the life of the antithesis. They join the world and they perish with the world. In sharp contrast to that awful judgment of God, God's blessing was upon Phinehas. God blessed him personally. And God blessed him in his family. That's the blessing. The covenant blessing. That's the thing. God's awful judgment on those who abandon the antithesis. God's awful judgment on those who join the world is that He cuts them off in their generations. The outcome of this incident was that God preserved His people. That we mustn't lose sight of. 24,000 perished, but Israel was not destroyed. They were saved. God preserved them despite Balak, despite Balaam, despite the world, despite the devil. God preserved Israel. And God brought Israel out of the wilderness and into the promised land. That's the comforting aspect of this sad, sad history. This is also God's assurance for His church today. This is the promise of God because of the action and the intervention of the one of whom Phinehas was only a faint type. And that one is our Lord Jesus Christ. You celebrated His great victory this morning. The one who was zealous for the cause of God. The one who was interested in the glory of the name of God. And the one who showed that zeal on Calvary's cross, there He redeemed us from the world of unbelief, the world of idolatry, the world that hates God and the cause of God. And having redeemed us, He saves us. And having saved us, He preserves us in such a way that He keeps us from the world devoted unto Himself. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Bless the preaching and teaching of it to us and to our children tonight. Work in us a zeal for Thy holy name. Motivate us to grateful living in separation from the world, in devotion unto Thee. In Jesus' name, Amen.